Well, I bless the Lord for giving us the privilege to be in His presence again. So let's look to Him as we always do in preparation for His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You and bless You today that You are the God who is in control of the universe, the God who is in charge, the God who will never fail nor forsake us, the God who is with us always, even to the end of the age. Lord, I praise You and bless You today for the privilege we have to continue studying Your Word. We thank You for preserving Your Word for us. In these troubled times, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And so, Lord, we rejoice and bless You for loving us so much that not only did You give us Your Son, but You gave us Your Spirit as well as the Scripture. And so we are privileged people. And Lord, we pray that Your Spirit will open our hearts to receive what You want us to receive today and grow and become more like You as You continue that gracious work of shaping and molding and fitting us to become more like Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, during my planning and preparation for the message on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, I thought for sure it would just be one sermon. But as I prayed and prepared on for it, the Holy Spirit made it clear to me that He has other plans. The message will be delivered in two sermons. So today we will hear the second and concluding sermon on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to once again to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Will you please listen carefully as I recite the Word of God from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. I'll actually begin from verse 1, since we are still in chapter 1. God willing, next week we'll complete chapter 1. So, the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 1 of 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and discipline and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us not with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and light, life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Verse 12, the Bible says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And lastly, verse 14, God, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of our passage of study. The main idea of our passage of study today is simply this. God will not fail believers who turn everything over to him. As such, through the Holy Spirit of God, or through the Spirit of God, they must also safeguard with the greatest care the treasure entrusted to them. In other words, God will guard what Christians commit to his care. But they must also guard the deposit he has committed to them with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in them. In our first study of this passage, we examine what the Bible reveals to us about the persuasion of Paul in verse 12. Paul was indeed a man of persuasion. He was fully assured of God's ability to safeguard what he had entrusted to God. Paul had entrusted his life to his God, and he was sure that in life and in death, he was safe and secure. Even in prison, Paul was fully convinced that the Lord his God was still in control. Why was Paul so sure? Well, because he knew his Lord, in whom he had believed. Through the Holy Spirit, Paul expressed his confidence in Christ on the basis of his personal and intimate saving relationship with him. He says, I know whom I have believed. Not, I know what I have believed. His confidence came from a personal knowledge of Christ, not just facts about Jesus Christ. The Bible also showed us that Paul was a man of conviction. After saying, I know whom I have believed, he asked in the Holy Spirit, and I am convinced that he is able. Literally, I have been persuaded that he is able. All throughout Scripture, in tough and trying times, when some of us who have cowered and coiled up, Paul demonstrated great conviction of heart in God and his ability to come through for him. Paul's life was also characterized by certainty regarding God's ability to guard what he has entrusted to him. So this is where we now pick up our study to complete our message entitled, Not Ashamed, But Assured. Not Ashamed, But Assured. Timothy was in a time of transition. You see, he had been Paul's bright young helper and fellow worker. However, soon he will be on his own, humanly speaking, as leader of a church in a difficult environment. Although his responsibilities were changing, Timothy was not without help. He had everything to face the future if he will hold on tightly to the Lord's resources to him. But you ask, what are the Lord's resources for Timothy to hold on tightly to? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. The Bible is going to show us two important resources of the Lord that believers today should hold on tightly to when facing difficult transitions in our lives. The first one is the scripture. And the second one is the spirit. So the discussion of the first resource brings us to the Bible's teaching regarding the pattern Timothy is exhorted to follow in verse 13. The pattern Timothy is now being admonished to follow is based on the sound words of the scripture. Would you please notice again what the Bible says in verse 13 of chapter 1? It says, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." This verse literally reads, "Have you a pattern of healthy words which you heard from me in faith and love in Christ Jesus?" The Amplified Bible translates this verse as follows: "Hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teachings which you have heard from me in all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus." Now the NASB phrase, "retain the standard of sound words," retain the standard, comes from one Greek word, which is hupotuposen. Hupotuposen. This word literally means a pattern. It occurs only two times in the New Testament, namely in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, where it is a translated example, and here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, where it literally means a pattern. So the Bible is saying what Timothy had heard from Paul, he was to keep as a pattern of sound words. Now the question is, what is meant by the expression "sound words"? Well, the NIV translation says "sound teaching." But in the original, the expression reads hugianonton logon. It's kind of jaw-breaking. That word hugianonton comes from the verb hugiano, which means literally healthy, sound, physically well. Our English word hygiene derives from this verb hugiano, hygiene. So sound words or healthy words refers to the words of scripture and the doctrine they teach. These were what Timothy heard from Paul. As Timothy faces a major transition in his life, he's exhorted to hold fast to the pattern of health-giving words. Timothy must maintain the standard of sound words which he had received through the scriptures. Timothy must see to it that Christian belief based on the words of scripture was maintained in all its purity, and that false and misleading ideas were not allowed to enter in. Timothy must make sure that the great Christian truths revealed in the inspired scriptures are always and faithfully preserved intact. The one Christian truth which must forever stand is Jesus Christ is Lord. But you ask, why must this truth stand forever? Well, I'm so glad you've asked again. Well, please listen carefully. Bible commentator William Barclay answers that question with this eloquent and expressive words. He says, "Any theology which seeks to remove Christ from the topmost niche or take from his unique place in the scheme of revelation and salvation is necessarily wrong. The Christian church must ever be restating its faith, but the faith restated must be in Christ." End quote. Excellent inside. So the sound voice centered on the person of Christ. If you remove him from the topmost position in the plan of God, then what you are teaching is no longer sound. Please notice very carefully that Timothy was specifically told how to hold fast to the pardon of health-giving words, which he heard from Paul. The Bible tells us he was to do so in what? In the faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. You see, the only way to keep doctrine or teaching is to both live and proclaim it with faith and love. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you want to display your doctrine, you live it out and you also speak it out with faith and love. Faith is confidence that God's word is true and trustworthy, reliable and dependable. As such, the believer must forever be true and loyal to Jesus Christ and his word revealed in the Bible. He or she must never be ashamed to show whose he or she is and whom he or she serves. We must never, at any point in our life, be ashamed that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we serve Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Love includes not only love to God, but also love to our fellow believers and to the perishing world around us. Again, Bible commentator William Barclay shares this excellent insight on Christian love. What is Christian love? What is God's love like? Well, listen carefully to what the Bible, this man says. He writes, and I quote, "To love men is to see them as God sees them. It is to refuse ever to do anything but seek their highest good. It is to meet bitterness with forgiveness. It is to meet hatred with love. It is to meet indifference with a flaming passion which cannot be quenched. Christian love insistently seeks to love men as God loves them and as he has first loved us." End quote. You can see that faith and love are much more than a matter of feelings toward one another. Sometimes when we talk about love, people focus so much on feelings. Well, this man is helping us to see that to love people is to love them as God sees them and as God loves them and want the very best for them. So Timothy is being urged to hold fast to the pattern of health-giving or sound words, doing so in faith, that is, being confident in God's word, that God's word is true, that what he's preaching, what he's teaching, what he's declaring to people is true. It is not fabricated. It is the truth given to him from God. And demonstrating love, that is, being kind and compassionate in his teaching of God's truth, desiring the highest good for all those he will be teaching. So personally, retaining the standard of sound voice or holding fast to the pattern of health-giving voice based only on the scriptures is deeply important to me. That is why I do not stand in this pulpit just to tell you stories or just tickle your ears. But I endeavored with the help of the Holy Spirit to present, to preach, and to proclaim to you the Bible, verse by verse, passage by passage, chapter by chapter, book from book, from the Old and the New Testaments. You see, in our day, it is sometimes suggested that we should abandon such old-fashioned expressions. They are not old-fashioned, by the way. They are just biblical expressions. As, for example, they say we should forget about old-fashioned expression as being born again or the blood of Jesus. Don't use that in your preaching, they say. In fact, some denominations have removed the blood of Jesus from the hymnal. If you look at the hymnals, you will not see the mention of the blood of Jesus. Why are they doing that? Well, it's because some teachers want to use more seeker-friendly or worldly-wise language in teaching the Bible, not the sound words which have been preserved in the Bible for us. But here, there is a subtle danger. What is that subtle danger? In forsaking the sound words of Scripture, these teachers often abandon the very truths which are communicated by these expressions. This is why Timothy was encouraged to hold fast to the pattern of sound or health-giving words. Timothy was not to abandon the practice of preaching the good news with the sound words of Scripture. By the grace of God, that is what I've committed myself to doing. Well, the first resource of the Lord Timothy's urge to hold on tightly to in his time of transition is the Scripture. He's to keep the pattern of sound words found in the Scriptures throughout his ministry. Now, the Bible brings us to the second of the Lord's resources, and it is the empowering presence of the person of the Holy Spirit in believers in verse 14. The Bible is going to show us today that the Holy Spirit is the powerful presence of God indwelling each and every single believer and enabling them to continue their ministry or their service to the Lord. Would you please listen once again to what the Bible says in verse 14? It says, God, through what? Through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. It literally says, the good deposit, God, through Spirit the Holy, indwelling in us. I like the fact that Paul includes himself in this verse. Notice he says, God, through the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. He says to Timothy, the Holy Spirit is not only abiding, living, or dwelling in me, but he's also living in you. In fact, he indwells all who are born again Christians. So please don't be deceived by those who teach that the Holy Spirit only dwells in super-duper saints. Those elite Christians who have had certain super-duper special experiences with God. The Holy Spirit indwells every genuine Christian. So the key question is, are you serving God in reliance upon the Holy Spirit? Are you striving to obey his still small voice? Are you submitting your life to him? Are you surrendering your life to him moment by moment? Are you seeking his help in your life daily? Are you sharing God's love and the goodness of God in the strength of the Spirit dwelling in you? And lastly, are you allowing him to do the work God wants him to do in you and through your life? You see, it is important for us to see that the Christian life can be lived only. There's only one way to live the Christian life, and that way is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is why Timothy is specifically directed to God through the Holy Spirit, the treasure or the good deposit which has been entrusted to him. Just as Timothy was directed, as I recited chapter 1, to join Paul in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, so now he's to guard the good deposit entrusted to him through the power of the person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. In other words, the Lord has personally provided the resource Timothy needed. And that resource is found in the empowering and indwelling presence of the person of the Holy Spirit. How kind of God, how loving of God, how thoughtful of God, how wonderful of God to provide all that Timothy needed in this time of transition in his life. And all that we need to do what he wants us to do. Now the question is, what is the treasure or the good deposit that has been entrusted to Mr. Honored by God? Timothy means honored by God. So what is the treasure entrusted to the man honored by God? Well, it is the gospel in a fuller sense. The entire content of the Christian faith. It is the treasure of the good news of salvation revealed in the scriptures. It was evidently the gospel that Paul had entrusted to Timothy to preach and the doctrine he was to preserve. It is the message of revealing love, redeeming love in Jesus Christ. Please notice that Timothy is not told to add to it or to improve it or to improve on it in any way. Rather, his responsibility is simply what? To guard it. To protect it through the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in him. You see, as Paul wrote this letter, he was conscious of widespread departure from the faith, which was threatening the church. Vile and vicious attacks will be made on the Christian faith from many different quarters. Timothy was therefore urgently admonished to stand true to the word of God. Thankfully, he will not have to do it in his own puny little strength. The indwelling Holy Spirit will supply all that he needed for that task. And that Holy Spirit is the same Spirit God has given to you and me. And he will supply all that you need to do what God has called you to do or put on your plate to do before your time ends here on earth, or before my time ends here on earth. So Paul, through the Spirit, encourages Timothy to guard the rich treasure of the gospel, not by putting it in a vault. Sometimes when we say guard something, it means we put it somewhere and lock it up, right? It's not to lock it up in a safe. But by the Holy Spirit who dwells in him, he is to read it, reflect on it, study it, saturate his life with its truth, that is the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, memorize the scriptures, ponder on it, pray it, preach it, and practice it. And that is our ministry too. You have been called to read and reflect on the scriptures, to study it, to saturate your life with its truth, to meditate on it, to memorize it, to ponder on it, and to pray it back to God. And that is what Timothy was to do in guarding the treasure entrusted to him. If he just put it somewhere without reflecting on it, he will not be able to guard it well. So it is important to understand that guarding doesn't mean you lock it up. It means that you use it by reflecting on it, reading it, and studying it, obeying it, and following its truth. Dwight L. Moody once said to a young person, says, "This book," referring to the Bible, "will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book." That's how it is. You have to use it in order to allow its truth to work in your life. So the The Bible is saying to Timothy, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and he will supply the power as he teaches you, as he trains you, and as he transforms you with the truth of this word. To sum up, this passage teaches us that God will guard what believers entrust to his care. But it is also expected of believers to guard the treasure God has entrusted to them through the help of the Holy Spirit living in them. If God had not given you the Holy Spirit, then you can say to God, I mean, you gave me a job and you haven't equipped me for it. But because he has given you the Holy Spirit, you and I have no excuse before God. In other words, it reminds believers of two important resources, that is, this message given to us, that these two resources given to us by our Lord himself is to hold on tightly to the scriptures and to the Spirit in our times of transition. So the question to, first of all, those of us who are believers is, remember I'm talking about these two resources, the scripture and the Spirit. So the scripture, how important is the Bible to you? Do you cherish it as the greatest treasure God has given to you? Do you commit yourself to live by its teachings? Do you, in reliance on the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, consistently read and reflect on it? Continually study and saturate your life with its truths? Constantly meditate and memorize it? Ceaselessly ponder and praise its truths back to God? How are you doing in guarding the treasure which God has entrusted to you through the Holy Spirit? And more importantly, how confident will your answer be when the Lord Jesus asks you on that day, how have you gathered the treasure which I have entrusted to your care? Would you be ashamed or assured in your response to him? My prayer is that you will be assured in your response to him because you know him, you believe in him, you love him, you are living for him, and have surrendered and submitted your life to the Holy Spirit and allowed him to make or to work in you and through you to serve his purpose in your generation. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you do not know Jesus Christ. And therefore, you cannot confidently say, I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. You'll be lying to yourself and deceiving yourself if you think you can confidently say that. But here's the good news to you today. God is giving you a wonderful opportunity today to bring a change in your life and destiny. Simply turn to Jesus today just as you are. Tell Jesus today that you are a sinner who doesn't know him, let alone love him. And trust Jesus today with simple, sincere, childlike faith that he died on the cross for all your sins, past, present, and future. And that he was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west. And that he rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with God. And the Bible says, you'll be saved and set apart for his purposes now and in the day to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this simple message reminding us that you have entrusted us with a treasure. And you are expecting us to guard that treasure that you have entrusted to us. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have been given to us to help us, not only live the Christian life, but to fulfill our destiny before we see the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in glory. So Holy Spirit, I pray today that you will renew in our hearts a passion and desire to surrender to you, to submit to you, and to commit ourselves to the very end to making use of the resources that have been given to us by our loving Father. Thank you, Father God, that your love is amazing, that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. And we thank you that you continue to sustain us even in times of transitions. We know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we trust you today that you who have begun a good work in each of our lives, Lord, you continue that good work so that when your work in our lives is completed and when the work you want us to do is completed here on earth, you can call us into glory and we will join the saints that have gone before us, those who are around your throne right now, rejoicing and blessing you, casting down their crowns before you, that we can be part of that great chorus or great choir of heaven, worshiping and adoring our mighty Maker, who loves us with unconditional, unending, unchanging, and unfailing love. To you be the glory, Lord, for all that you have done and will continue to do in our lives. And I thank you for your hand of protection upon us here. And I pray for your hand of protection on the nation of America, especially as we go through these difficult times of evil manifesting itself in all kinds of ways. Lord, we need your protection. We are dependent on you to protect us, because without you, we will be given over to the enemy to destroy. But we thank you that you are our rock and you are our refuge, our defender and our shield. Now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.